Welcome to all those joining us for the Shir in Parenting, based on the Sefer Lehudiyah LeDoros, which is a conglomerate of information regarding the topic of bringing children into the world, raising children, based on all of Rabbi Nachman's teachings. We're continuing, for those that are following in the Sefer itself, we're continuing on page 50. Here it's based on a chapter in Likutei Moran, in the second book of Likutei Moran, chapter 71, where Rabbi Nachman says that if a person wanted to use one word to describe the purpose of creation, that the word is lichvodo, for Hashem's kavod. We find the last Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says there, that everything Hashem created in all of the different worlds, He created for His honor. And Rabbi Nachman writes there that with all the things, different things that Hashem has created, the angels, plants, trees, oceans, mountains, everything, the ones who are in the greatest position to show respect to Hashem are us human beings, because nothing else in creation has free choice. Nothing else in creation has the ability to choose whether to respect Hashem and comply with Hashem's wishes, or chas v'sham, to go against Hashem, other than man. When a human being accepts the authority of Hashem upon themselves, that's real respect for Hashem. That's the kavod of Hashem. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, the more children that are born, the more this kavod of Hashem increases. Obviously, if these children are taught about Hashem, if they believe in Hashem, and if they show respect for Hashem. And Rabbi Nachman goes on to show there that in order to bring children into the world, it requires a deep love between a husband and a wife. And Rabbi Nachman says there that this love comes from the divine sweetness, something that's called Noyam Ho'elyoin. And from there comes down a flame of love, which is what brings children into the world, which is what brings leads to a birth. And he quotes a pasuk in the Navi Shmuel, Noamto li moid, you were very sweet to me, Niflaso ahavas choli me ahavas noshim. The love that I felt towards you surpassed the love that a man feels for a woman. And Rabbi Nachman says, based on that pasuk and based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, that this Noyam Ho'elyon, this divine sweetness in heaven, is the source from which this love comes down to the world, which when a husband and wife are married properly, living properly, this will lead to producing children. Rabbi Nachman goes on to say that this Noyam Ho'elyon, this divine sweetness, is always flowing. We need a vessel, though, in which to be able to receive from that Noyam Ho'elyon. And he says the vessel for this is tzedakah, charity. Charity is an expression of a generosity, a willingness to give. Nedivus lev, it's called. And nedivus lev means that a person's heart is opening up. That's generally what it is. When somebody comes asking for a contribution, asking for financial help, in order to give that person, there has to be a willingness. The donor, the one that's being asked to give, their heart has to open up and feel a feeling of love, of a positive feeling, in order to be willing to give that tzedakah, that charity. And that nedivus lev, that comes from that Noam Ho'elyon, that divine sweetness. And Rabbi Nachman goes on to say there that we know the Torah speaks about two types of charity, the charity of Eretz Yisrael and charity outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the stronger one is the charity of Eretz Yisrael, which enables us to be able to receive from that Noyam Ho'elyon. And Rabbi Nachman goes on to bring, quote, a pasuk, Eile toldos Yaakov Yosef. These are the children of Yaakov and Yosef. And Rabbi Nachman says, Yaakov, represents tzedakah, charity. Mishpat u'tzedakah be'yakov, the Pasuk says. Yosef HaTzadik represents this noyam ho'elyon, this divine sweetness. The Torah tells us that Yosef HaTzadik is described as yifei toyar v'yifei maris, somebody beautiful, like this divine sweetness. And it's the combination of these two that brings about toldos, children. And once again, Rabbi Nizal reiterates, every new child that's brought into the world increases the kavod of Hashem. As the Pasuk says, kol zera Yaakov kabduhu. All of the children, the offspring of Yaakov, the Jewish children, kabduhu, pay respect and show increase the respect for Hashem. The next item in order in this sefer is from Sefer Hamidos. Sefer Hamidos is a sefer which Rabbi Nizal put together as a child, when he was a child, as he went through the Torah and discovered all types of things by which a person serves Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal put it in the order of the Aleph Beis, a chapter on Emes, a chapter on Bonim, children, chapters on each major topic, and compiled many things from throughout the Torah, the Gemara, the Medrash, the Chumash, the Nevi'im, that are related to it. In the chapter on Bonim, there's over 100 items that are mentioned there that are related to children. For now, I want to leave this go, because each one of these items could require explanation a little bit, and it's massive to a degree. I hope that we're going to come back to this in Yetzir Hashem at some point, but I'd rather first address some of the things that are easier to relate to, going through Rabbi Nachman's Sfarim. For example, later on page 75 in this Sefer, he mentions a few items from Sichai Soran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom. One of the items there, in paragraph 34, Rabbi Nizal says there that emuna, faith, when a person shows sincere faith in Hashem, in the Torah, in tzaddikim, the Hashem considers that like an act of tzedakah, like an act of charity. Like the Pasuk says by Avram Avinu, ve'he'emin b'Hashem, he trusted in Hashem, v'yachsheveho lo tzedakah, and Hashem considered this a form of tzedakah. And we're going to see later on, one of Rabbi Nizal's students, at one point, was married for a while, didn't have children, and he came to Rabbi Nizal pleading that Rabbi Nizal pray for him for children. So Rabbi Nizal said to him, you have to give tzedakah. And this person honestly said, I don't have any. And Rabbi Nizal said to him, okay, work on your emuna. And emuna is like tzedakah. And he mentioned this pasuk to him. And it's brought that sure enough, this student did this, and he was zeicha to children. Rabbi Nizal concludes over there, we find that the word emuna is bigimatria bonim, exactly. The word emuna is 102, and the word bonim is 102. Next, in paragraph 59 in Sicha Saran, Rabbi Nizal makes a statement there where he says that it's a benefit to children for parents not to be overly on top of them, not to be so attached to them all the time, feeling that they have to play with the children all the time, they have to engage the children all the time, but rather to not look so closely at them, as long as they're not doing anything wrong to themselves or hurting anybody else, not necessarily to focus so strongly on them, but rather to let them grow, to let them develop by themselves to a degree, naturally in a healthy environment, good friends, positive location, all of those things. But there are people that think that I have to watch every single thing and I have to be on top. And if my child says anything that I think is imperfect, correct them right then. And Rabbi Nizal stressed keeping a certain healthy distance from children in terms of overreacting and overplaying with them. When there's an opportunity to teach them, when there's an openness, a willingness to learn, and an opportunity to teach, of course, to take advantage of that, but not to overwhelm the child. Question in the chat that this applies, could it be that this applies more so to fathers, not to mothers, because mothers are naturally more focused on their children? It seems to make sense. But even by mothers, sometimes there's a concept of being too much on top of a child versus allowing the child to develop, allowing the child to grow. The next item, Rabbi Nizal said that one of the things that can protect parents from chas v'shalom losing children, having children pass away during their lifetime, is simcha. That there should be an atmosphere of joy and happiness in the home, and especially each one of the parents trying their best to be besimcha, because of the fact that the klipa, the angel, that chas v'shalom has the potential to harm children, is the angel that's called Lil. We don't pronounce the full name. It's spelled Lamed Yud Tov, and the term Lil is associated with night, darkness. Yalala means wailing, unhappiness, sadness. And Rabbi Nizal said that simcha is the opposite of this. Simcha is a shield and a protection, not allowing this negative force, chas v'shalom, to affect our children. The next item from Sichei Saran, paragraph 209. We have two more items and then we'll pause for questions. Rabbi Nizal said to his students that everything I'm teaching you, all of the official lectures and all of our conversations and discussions, you should know my intention is that this is not just for you, but rather, as it says in the Torah, Eis asher yeshnoi poi v'asher inenu poi. It's directed to those who are present now and those who aren't here now, meaning referring to future generations, as Rashi points out over there in Chumash. And Rav Nelson Zal writes that Rabbi Nizal stressed this to us many times, and he hinted to us our responsibility to see to it to pass on to future generations everything that Rabbi Nizal did for us and what he taught us. And he once actually said clearly, Gam levenechem toidiyu es kol, that to your children also, share with them all the things that you learn, the stories and everything that I reveal to you. And Rabbi Nizal quoted the pasuk in the Torah, Vohoidatom levonecho velevnei vonecho. You will inform your children and your grandchildren. And Rabbi Nizal says he said it with an incredible passion and enthusiasm. In Yiddish he said, Eire kinder zoltir moidia sein, you should inform your children about what took place here, everything you saw, everything you experienced. And Rabbi Nizal made a statement, and he said, you must know and believe that if it's possible to pull someone out of the mud, then anyone who will hold on to that person who's being pulled out of mud will also be taken out, implying that not only his actual students, but those who would attach themselves to his students would also be able to be helped by him, by Rabbi Nizal himself. That in the process of him helping his students, those who attach themselves to his students would definitely also be helped in the process. An item that we've mentioned in the past, but it pays to repeat it, and there is a direct reference to one's children here. Rabbi Nizal was once standing outside of a shul talking to someone, and he overheard that they were davening Ma'ariv in the shul, and one of the people there was saying the last paragraph before Shmon Esrei, Hashkivenu, in which we have the sentence, V'sakneinu bi'etza toiva milfanecha. Hashem, please provide us with good advice and guidance from you. And the person who was saying this in the davening went over it quickly. And Rabbi Nizal said to the person he was with, did you hear how that person went over those words quickly? Those words, when a Jew recites those words in Ma'ariv, A person has to say it with incredible passion and kavon, a deep concentration from the very, very depth of a person's heart. Because that line is one of the most precious lines in the tefillah. Because a person needs to really beg Hashem for Hashem to give us good advice and guidance all the time for us to be able to know how to conduct ourselves in every facet of our lives. And this is something that's certainly obvious and clear to any person who wants to come close to Hashem, that they always need direction and advice and guidance because it's a delicate, difficult path and process. And Rabbi Nizal went on to say, this is what I do on a daily basis. When a day begins, I make a declaration. I say to Hashem that I'm giving over all of my movements, everything that I'm going to do during the day, everything that I'm going to do, and my children, and anyone else that's dependent on me, that's associated with me. I'm giving it all over to you, Hashem. I'm making it perfectly clear to you that we want to do what you want us to do. We really want to fulfill your will. There are times that we don't know what it is, so we need you to guide us and reveal it to us and show us and lead us in the right direction. And especially when a Shabbos or a Yom Tov comes where there's much more, many more laws and obligations and responsibilities, I give it all over to Hashem. I tell Hashem, Shabbos is coming, and there's the Friday night, and the Shabbos morning, and the Shabbos afternoon, and there's so many things, so many positive mitzvahs that need to be done, and there are negative things to be careful not to do in thought, in speech, and action. Hashem, I want to make it perfectly clear that I really want to do what you want me to do. I want to do the right thing, and I'm begging you to guide me and direct me. And Rabbi Nizal said, once I do that with sincerity, I feel confident that however the day goes, that's how Hashem wanted it to go. I don't get anxious, over anxious, nervous, thinking, did I do the right thing or not? I have a certain level of confidence that I did what I could to make it clear to Hashem that I want to do the right thing, I'm trying to do the right thing, and I'm asking Hashem to help me and guide me in every way He possibly can to fulfill His will. With this, we complete the paragraph on Sichai Saran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom. Now we go on to Chaim Moharan. The translation in English, the Breslov Research Institute's version, is called Tzaddik, the book Tzaddik. It's brought there that Reb Nachman Chirin, who organized the book Chaim Moharan, most of it was written by Reb Nosson Zal, but the one who organized it and published it was Reb Nachman Chirin, and he writes, I heard in the name of one of Rabbeinu Zal's students, who heard from Rabbeinu Zal himself, that he wanted very much that his Sefer Sipurei Maaseis, Rabbi Nachman's stories, should be published in Hebrew, but also with the Yiddish, the original Yiddish that Rabbi Nachman told these stories in. And he said the reason for this is so that a woman who is pregnant will read a story, and this will ensure that she'll be able to have a healthy pregnancy and be zeichet to children. And he writes, I heard afterwards that there is a direct association between this and something that Rabbi Nizal says in chapter 60 in Likutei Moharan. There, Rabbi Nizal speaks about, he introduces the topic of Sipurei Maaseis, telling stories, and he speaks about two different levels of stories, recent stories, stories that took place in the recent past, and Sipurei Maaseis Mishonim Kadmoniyos, and ancient stories that go way, way back, a long time back. And in that chapter on Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nizal goes on to show that when a person is asleep spiritually, sometimes in order to wake them up, they need the right kind of a story. We know there's a concept of bedtime stories, that when people want to put children to sleep, sometimes you tell them a story, a bedtime story, to put them to sleep. Rabbi Nizal said, I say the opposite, that when a person is spiritually asleep, one of the most powerful things that can inspire them and motivate them is the right kind of story. And there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal makes the connection between this and a woman, women who are barren, who haven't had children yet, and possibly can't have children, or difficulty in having children. Pekida Sakorois. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there that through these Sipurei Maaseis, that a person who's involved in inspiring and motivating people who are spiritually asleep by telling them the right kind of stories, like these stories from Sipurei Maaseis, that person will be able to bring about this Pekida Sakorois, that women who are barren should be able to have children, and women who are having any difficulty in pregnancy or childbirth should be able to overcome this. Right now, one of the people that's very close to us, one of our students, his wife is in the hospital, possibly going through a cesarean surgery, Chana Bas Hadassah Shendel. Our learning should be a refuah, should help see to it that whatever needs to be done should be done precisely, properly, not one iota more, not one iota less, not 1 minute early, not 1 minute late, and both the mother and the child should be completely healthy and well, and so to all the others, all women that are pregnant, that could possibly, Chas Shalom, have any difficulty, the speaking about these Sipurei Maaseis, encouraging people to study these stories. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal wanted the Yiddish, because during his time in his community, in Eastern Europe, the language that the women were more familiar with was Yiddish than Hebrew. It was easier for them to read Yiddish than Hebrew. And he wanted it, these stories, these 13 stories, to be available to them in Yiddish. This definitely also applies to the stories in the Chumash, or the entire Chumash Bereishis and Chumash Shmos, the stories in the Navi, Megillas Esther, these special stories in the Torah. Question in the chat. Someone once said that a person who makes this declaration that we said, that I want to do the will of Hashem, the person is renouncing their freedom of choice. The answer is that there are levels and levels of this. The great tzaddikim, when they say it, they mean it 100%. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Batel Ritzoincha Mipnei Ritzoinai, nullify your will completely to the will of Hashem, Kadesh, so that Hashem will nullify the will of others to your will. But obviously, there are so many different levels of this. When we say this, the question is, do we really mean this? Do we really mean that I don't want X or Y or Z, things that I really do want and I really like, you know, that kind of thing. So we try to say this with the utmost of sincerity that each one of us can, and to whatever degree it's possible, we're giving over to Hashem, we're telling Hashem, please guide me, lead me. I don't want to choose by myself. I need your help in directing me. And we know that David HaMelech, in chapter 16 in Tehillim, the first chapter of the Tikkun HaKlali, David HaMelech says, Ato toimich goyroli, Hashem, you choose for me. Whenever there's choices to be made, choose for me, direct me, put my hand on the right choice. So we know that a person is allowed to do this. Does this take away a person's free choice completely? Definitely not. There's still an allowance for free choice, but it's a person seeking help. A person is making it clear that I know I can't do it by myself. I need your help, Hashem. Just like the Gemara tells us, the famous Gemara in Kiddushin, B'chol yoim v'yoim yitzroi shel adam mezgaber elov, that every single day, our adversary, the Yetzer Hara, rises up against us, tries to overpower us and defeat us every single day. U'b'chol yoim v'yoim yitzroi mischadesh elov, and every single day, the Yetzer Hara comes back new, with new tricks, with new plans to try to get us to do the wrong thing. And were it not for Hashem helping the person, the person cannot possibly win this battle against the Yetzer Hara. So the Gemara is making it perfectly clear that we need Hashem's help. And the more a person makes it clear verbally, a person verbalizes this, Hashem, I need your help. I can't decide. I can't choose. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the willpower sometimes. please help me. A person is allowed to do this, and this is the Bechira. This is the most important element of choosing. Whether I choose to ask for Hashem's help, or I choose to think that I can do it on my own, Chas V'Shalom. The next item, I believe we touched on it earlier, but make it a little bit clearer, based on chapter 69 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nizal spoke about a family, a husband, a wife, children, and in that chapter he goes into tremendous detail explaining the connection between children and parents, how it compares to a tree and the branches on the tree and the fruit of the tree, and how money plays an important role in this connection between a husband and wife and between the wife and the children. Rav Nosson Zal says that when Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir, one of the people that was present at the time was a very wealthy person who didn't have children. And a short while after he heard this shir, he approached Rabbeinu Zal and pleaded with him, begged him to please daven for him that he should be zeche to have children. So Rabbeinu Zal said to this person, what do you mean? I said a Torah on Rosh Hashanah, implying that in the Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said on Rosh Hashanah that year, which was this chapter 69, he included this issue. And this person did not understand what the connection was. Afterwards, it was found out, it was realized, that in the city of Breslov, there was a person who was originally very wealthy and then ended up losing just about all of his wealth. And this person was extremely jealous of the wealthy person we mentioned before who didn't have children and who approached Rabbeinu Zal pleading with him to daven for him. The wealthy person who didn't have the children was originally not so wealthy, and he rose and became tremendously wealthy. So these two went in opposite directions. And what happened was, originally they were actually partners. And the other one who lost the money originally was much richer than the one who was now wealthy. But unfortunately, he ended up losing the vast majority of his money. And therefore, he especially was very jealous of his partner, who wasn't as wealthy as him in the beginning, and now became very wealthy. That was problem number one, the strong feeling of jealousy. And number two, this person, the partner who was originally rich and lost all his money, had taken a large sum of money, of cash, from the partner who was now wealthy, and as a loan possibly, and wasn't returning it. And Rabbeinu Zal was hinting to the wealthy person who approached him for children that this is why he doesn't have children. It's because of the powerful jealousy that his partner, former partner, has on him, very jealous of him, and in addition, that he's holding on to a large sum of his money improperly. And Rabbeinu Zal went on to say in that chapter, in Likutei Moran, that there are times that the jealousy, when one person is jealous over another person's money, it can become so powerful that as a result of that, he can actually take away that person's wife. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that that's exactly what happened here. That a short while, shortly before Rabbeinu Zal passed away, which was a while later, he instructed his students to give over a message to this wealthy person who didn't have children and wanted very much to have kids, that if he will divorce his wife and take a different wife, he'll be able to have children from her. This man originally thought that the problem was his, that he was the cause of not having children. But Rabbeinu Zal mentioned this to his students, that this wealthy person needs to know this information. Sure enough, after Rabbeinu Zal passed away, Rav Nosson Zal at one time spoke to him, this wealthy person, and he told him, I understood clearly from Rabbeinu Zal that it's not you, it's your wife, and if you will divorce your wife and marry another woman, you'll see you'll be able to have children. At first, he was very reluctant because he knew that the divorce settlement would be huge. He was a very wealthy person, and he understood that to divorce his wife, he would have to give away a major part of his wealth. But at one point he understood it, and he went ahead and divorced her and did give a major part of his wealth away to her, and then ended up marrying a different woman. Now, during this period of time, his partner, the partner who was originally very wealthy and lost all of his wealth, his wife died, and he ended up marrying the wife of the partner, the wealthy one who had divorced his wife. The partner with the jealousy ended up taking that woman as his wife. And sure enough, Rabbeinu Zal's words were fulfilled, that the wealthy person who remarried did have a child. And Rabbeinu Zal writes that regarding this wealthy person, there's a lot to say, but this isn't the place to write about it. Unfortunately, this very wealthy person, who thanks to Rabbeinu Zal, was zeuche to have a child. And instead, at one point, when the great Machloikis rose up against Rabbeinu Zal, this person got sucked into it, and the daughter that was born, as a result of Rabbeinu Zal's advice and everything, she ended up turning her father, she herself and her father, against Rabbeinu Zal in a terrible way, unfortunately. But in terms of as far as we're concerned, here Rabbeinu Zal said that both of these items, that when someone is very jealous of someone else, number one, and number two, especially when they take away money from the person in an illegal kind of way, they could actually, chas v'shalom, take away that person's wife and that person's children. Person needs to be careful regarding these items. To try our best, we say there's a tefillah that we say every morning, pleading with Hashem, that I shouldn't be jealous of anyone else, and no one should be jealous of me. And for a person to try wherever possible to keep a low profile, especially when a person is around other people who don't have, whether they don't have money, they don't have children, to be sensitive, to be extremely careful not to do anything that would hurt those, that would arouse powerful feelings of jealousy, harmful feelings. Chas v'shalom. Question, couldn't Rabbeinu Zal just daven for the wealthy person to have children regardless of what was stolen from him? The answer is that this is a very important point, that there are many factors that are involved sometimes in something positive happening and something negative happening. And a tzaddik, that Rabbeinu Zal says that just like Hashem does not take away a person's free choice, a tzaddik also doesn't take away a person's free choice. And just like Hashem doesn't always reveal to a person openly exactly what they should do, so too tzaddikim emulate Hashem, and they know exactly how to conduct themselves with a person, what they can reveal, what they can't reveal, what they can tell a person directly and what they can't. And sometimes, in order for something to be successful, it's got to be kept hidden. It can't be spoken about openly, it can be hinted to, or it can be given over indirectly. The tzaddikim are the ones who know exactly how these things should be done. The next item, an important item to note, Rabbeinu Zal said, for people to come in to see me, to meet with me, and to come close to me, sometimes is very difficult. And even my own children, Rabbeinu Zal said, is there anyone closer to a parent than their own children? Even they, whenever they want to come in to see me, there's all kinds of thoughts and fears and things that make it difficult. And especially whenever there's a new beginning, any type of a new beginning. And whenever there's anything that could be classified as a new beginning, then it's especially hard to come close. And then afterwards also, there could be difficulties. But especially when there's a beginning, then it's especially difficult to enter and to come close. And again, knowing this, we know Rabbeinu Zal speaks in Likutei Moran about the term Azus Digdusha, which the Shulchan Aruch actually begins with this. The Tur Shulchan Aruch begins quoting the Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, the great Tana Yehuda ben Tema said, Hevi az kanomer, that one of the attributes that a person needs to get close to Hashem is a certain level of brazenness, guts, sometimes a lack of shyness in order to come close. And a person needs to know that even regarding children and parents, a good child sometimes will have a natural shyness of being afraid sometimes to approach a parent, to speak, to discuss certain things with a parent, that kind of thing. And if a parent knows this in advance, a parent can know sometimes to try to do things to make it easier, to make it clear to a child that I'm interested in your life, I'm happy when you share things with me, I enjoy hearing what's going on with you, and there's always an opportunity, a possibility, that because I'm older, because I have experience, could be there are things that you're going through for the first time, and it's hard to be able to know how to deal with it, and could be because I'm older than you, and the fact that I had the privilege of studying from rabbis, other things, maybe there's a good possibility that if you'll share things with me, I'll be able to help you. That kind of thing. The next item, again from Chaim Oharan, Rabbeinu Zal put tremendous emphasis on not forcing anything, not trying to force something, not trying to put too much pressure on. And he said that unfortunately, sometimes when teachers or parents try to pressure a child too much, try to get them to review something again and again, say it again, that kind of thing, that as a result of that, that could make the child not know the thing that you're trying to get them to know or to remember. And this requires tremendous knowledge and experience in terms of how to teach children properly in a gentle way without imposing too much fear, without too much pressure. And that makes it easier for the children to absorb what you're trying to teach them. And Rabbeinu Zal said sometimes a teacher tells a student, remember what I'm saying, remember what I'm telling you. And then when the child remembers the word remember, they remember the remember, they don't remember what the teacher wanted them to remember. Think that the term remember, you know, that's what they have to remember. And Rabbeinu Zal said this is something that can't necessarily explain that well, but those that understand realize the importance of this, and this is something very, very necessary for teachers to be aware of. And there was a story once with Rabbeinu Zal that there was a child whose father was bringing him to Rabbeinu Zal, and they had to travel a certain distance to come. And on the way, the father kept reviewing with his son that when you're given something to drink, before you wait, especially wine or mashke, something like that, first say, Savri moronon v'rabonon v'rabosai, that you want everybody to hear and answer amen to your bracha. And the father repeated this many times with his son, hoping that that's going to help him remember well and he won't get confused. And when the child came to Rabbeinu Zal, and he started saying the word Savri, and he couldn't remember, and he got confused. And Rabbeinu Zal saw the situation and understood it, and he said to the father, I'm sure you taught him very well. I'm sure you reviewed it with him many times, but that's why he doesn't remember right now. It was too much. Had you not reviewed it so many times, I'm telling you, he would have been able to say it easily. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal said this sicha about knowing sometimes not heavy pressure, not too much repetition, because sometimes that weakens the understanding and the ability of the child to remember.
What about, for example, there's a tradition that would bring the boys to Rabbeinu before age 7, and they should say Tikkun Klali.
That's the next item that we're about to address. The next item in this sefer, literally, is that Rabbeinu Zal made a statement that I am completely confident in Hashem that any child that will be brought to me before the age of 7 will definitely be pure from sin until his wedding, until he gets married. We know that until a person is married, there's a certain vulnerability, especially to thoughts and chas v'shalom actions, committing types of sins related to boys and girls, men and women, that the area of Tikkun HaBris. And Rabbein Azal said that I trust in Hashem that any child that will be brought to me before the age of 7 will be pure from sin until his wedding. Person gets married, hopefully that's called pas besaloi. They have bread in their basket, they're married already. It could be easier for the person to maintain purity in this area. It's known in Breslov that after Rabbein Azal passed away, what this refers to is bringing the child to Rabbein Azal's tzion, to Rabbein Azal's grave, and teaching the child, if possible, to be able to read the Tikkun HaKloli. Because Rabbein Azal also said about anyone, that anyone coming to his kever and reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim there and giving something to charity on behalf of Rabbein Azal's neshama, that he'll do everything in his power to help that person. So here, the custom has developed of people trying to train children to be prepared to come to Rabbein Azal Sion before the age of 7, whether it's 4, 5, 6, whatever age, and to be able to recite the Tikkun HaKloli there. And there are people that spend time, a lot of time, teaching the children how to read, number one, how to read, and to be able to read an entire paragraph, an entire chapter of Tehillim, and to be able to read 10 chapters of Tehillim, depending on the child. There are so many different kids with so many different issues that this could be a climbing a mountain in order to accomplish this. If it can be done, it's a very good thing, and it requires training, it requires repetition, but even here, to keep in mind Rabbein Azal's warning, that too much pressure, too much, can make it more difficult for the child to be able to accomplish it. To try in a pleasant way, in a warm way, using the carrot, preferably using reward sometimes, to motivate the child to be willing to do it, because depending on the child's level of patience and intellect, it's a stretch, but to be able to, you know, and if it's done in one session, it's the best. And if not, it could be done in 2 sessions, 3 sessions, 10 sessions, if necessary.
It seems that according to the text, that just bringing him there accomplishes it, that the Tikkun HaKloli is like a bonus.
Correct. Because again, this was said by Rabbein Azal during his lifetime. He didn't say anything about, you know, he said during his lifetime, a child brought to me. His students understood that we know the Gemara says a tzaddik is greater after his passing than during his lifetime. And bringing a child to Rabbein Azal's tzion and combining that with the Tikkun HaKloli, with the tzedaka, that's spectacular. With this, we complete the book Chaye Moharan, things from there. And now we go on to Likutei Halachos. Likutei Halachos is 8 volumes. It's about 4,000 pages. And the author here has selected maybe 10, 20 items from there that are relevant to the issue of chinuch of children, parenting, bringing up children the right way, the best way possible. The first item he mentions here regarding a boy, a male child, is the fact that Rav Nosson Zal writes that generally the first or one of the first mitzvahs that we teach a Jewish boy, a child, as a child, is putting on tzitzis when they get up in the morning. And in fact, that's what we start from before just about any other mitzvah. As soon as a child is toilet trained, and we can trust that they won't, you know, that they're capable of controlling themselves in that way. And Rav Nosson Zal explains there that we know Rabbi Nachman writes in Likutei Moran that one of the goals of a Jew in life is to be able to rule over angels. We have an angel that's challenging us all the time, the Yetzirah, and we're trying to get to a level where he's not controlling me, I have control, I can control him. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this is one of the concepts in the importance of the mitzvah of tzitzis specifically. We know the Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to bring the Torah, to bring the Luchos down to the Jewish people, the angels there got upset and they said, who is this human being to dare come among us and to try to take the Torah away from us up here in heaven and take it down to earth? And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, grab on to my throne grab onto my throne, and then they won't be able to harm you in any way. And Rav Nosson Zal points out, we find in different places in the Torah, it speaks about the tzitzis as something we're grabbing onto, we're holding onto. And we know that tzitzis, in its purest sense, is tcheles, the special blue color of the tzitzis. And that reflects the color of the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem. So Rav Nosson Zal points out, that's why this is the first item in many cases, which we try to train a child from a young age to be able to wear tzitzis, to start them out in this process of being able to stand up to the challenges, to all the enticements that the Yetzer Hara wants to give even a child. Candy, all the different things, to be able to give the child this ability, this strength of attaching oneself to the Kisei HaKavod. I'm reminded here of one of the items from Sefer Hamidos, when we'll get back to that, which the Gemara says, it's very, very good for a child, a male child, again, a baby boy, from the youngest age, to be able to be taught to have a head covering, to cover the head, to wear a yarmulke. And here we find the Gemara tells us that one of the great rabbis of the Gemara, that when his mother was pregnant with him, the stargazers told her that they foresee that this child that's going to be born is going to want to steal. Kleptomaniac, as they call it. And the Gemara says that she was careful from when he was a baby to keep his head covered. And this was a tremendous protection that he shouldn't have this temptation of stealing, of taking things that don't belong to him. This is something that in certain communities, they're not aware of it. And a child doesn't start wearing a yarmulke till he's 3 or 4 or 5 years old, in some cases. And whether he does wear it or doesn't wear it, the parents aren't that concerned because he's not learning Torah yet, etc. But in other communities, from when a baby even, they'll put a yarmulke, even with a string, a small string attaching it so it won't fall off, in order to start a baby boy off with this. The word yarmulke that's used in Yiddish, yarmulke is a combination of yorei mikah, fear of Hashem, respect for Hashem. And this is one of the major protections spiritually for a baby boy. Another point from Likutei Halacha is regarding the issue of tzitzis. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this, and it's mentioned in many places of the Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew who's not religious or not very religious makes the slightest turn towards Hashem, even kichut hasaira, like a hair, like the thinness of a hair, a person makes that slight movement towards Hashem, because of the fact that we human beings, even though we have a neshama inside of us, we have a soul, which is something heavenly, divine, but we also have a body, which is earthly. It's made from earth, from dirt. And we have a yetzer hara, we have an evil inclination, and we have all kinds of other challenges working against us. When a Jew makes the slightest move towards Hashem, kichut hasaira, like a hair, Hashem gets tremendous pleasure from this. And this is considered a major accomplishment. And Rav Nosson Zal writes there on Likutei Halacha that the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the tzitzis, the strings of the tzitzis, are made from hairs. They come originally from hairs, from woolen hairs of sheep, etc., etc. And the Sifrei Kabbalah show us that the tzitzis, the spiritual power of tzitzis, draws from the highest level of hairs, the hairs of the highest level of Kedusha, things that rise all the way up to Atik and Abba Ve'ima. And therefore, again, this mitzvah specifically has a tremendous benefit, a protection, to be able to help a person to overcome challenges and to connect to Hashem's kindness and to be able to avoid sins, or even to be able to have sins forgiven, especially through this particular mitzvah of tzitzis. The next item, also based on Likutei Halacha, where Rav Nosson Zal stresses the incredibly important mitzvah of teaching children at a young age, when they don't even understand what they're saying yet, teaching them to be able to say Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, to be able to say Shema Yisrael, things like this, because speech has an incredible, incredible power and effect on a person. Even if the child doesn't really understand what they're saying, know what they're saying, the fact that they get used to speaking words of holiness, words of Kedusha, Rav Nosson Zal says this is a major, major mitzvah. And he says he wants to make it perfectly clear how much he disagrees with those people who make fun of religious people who want to take small children and start teaching them about Yiddishkeit, about Hashem, about Torah and mitzvahs. They say, this child doesn't know anything yet. You're teaching them about spirituality, about religion. You know, there are people who say, no, that has to be a choice that they make themselves when they get older. They have no way of choosing, of knowing now what anything about Hashem, anything about religion. And Rav Nosson Zal expresses complete disagreement with this, because he says, especially children, when they're first starting out in life and they haven't had all the challenges that they're going to be facing as they get older, if they're trained at a young age to be able to do mitzvahs, to be able to speak words of tefillah, words of Torah, words of psukim, this will definitely help them and give them a tremendous advantage when they get older. And Rav Nosson Zal actually says that those people that oppose this, oppose educating children at a young age about religion, that originates from the angels who oppose the creation of man. When Hashem originally was considering creating man, the Torah tells us that he consulted with angels, and there were some angels that said, why would you want to do that? Man is going to commit sins and the Satan, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, was one of those angels that opposed the creation of man. And Rav Nosson Zal says, these people who speak against bringing youth close to Hashem, they're connecting to that source, Chas V'Shalom, that opposed the creation of man entirely. Whereas we know, the Gemara tells us, that Hashem derives tremendous pleasure from human beings, and even people who, children, who are very, very small, we find the pasuk says, "Mipi oilalim v'yoinkim yisadeto ois leman sorerecha." From babies and small children, Hashem, you establish the strength against all of your opposition, lahashbis oyevu misnakim, to destroy the enemies and those who would want to chas v'shalom take revenge from the Jewish people. And the pasuk here tells us that, again, it's these small children, the speech of these small children, because they're young and they have all kinds of desires and everything, and the training them from a young age to be able to recite psukim, to be able to recite tefillah. Some of the shuls have children's groups for Tehillim on Shabbos, where kids get together and they sing chapters of Tehillim, that these things are very, very special and will give a child tremendous advantage growing up. The fact that we're learning about this, we hope, we wish that all of our children should be healthy and happy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, should go in the path of the Torah. Question in the chat: is there an inyan to bring a small child to Uman for Rosh Hashanah if you're going as a shliach for the entire family? The answer is, if the child will benefit from it, if the child is able to understand a little what it's about, number one, and if the child will not make it difficult, will not be problematic, preventing the father from being able to daven, from being able to do the mitzvahs that need to be done, then it could be a good thing. And if the person can afford it, then it could be a good thing. Should be thought about carefully. Should be zeicha to a good week. We should be zeicha that our children and we should grow up with emunah in Hashem, to bring tremendous respect to Hashem, and to bring about the final moment of glory of Hashem with the geula shleima, the binyan beis hamikdash, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.